take you to the story. Seven Muslim families are reportedly preparing to take JEPI Girls High School and the Education Department to court over the school's policy on hijabs. Now, the policy apparently bans learners from wearing hijabs with the official school blazer or school colours. Let's hear from the lawyer who's representing these parents, head of the pro bono department at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Jackie Cassette. Jackie, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for joining us here on Afternoon Drive. Now, there was a very misleading picture in the media on the weekend, incorrectly depicting a hijab as a niqab. Can you please start by describing the hijab, which the girls want the right to wear?
Thank you, Joanne. Just first, thanks for inviting us to participate in the program. I'm not a Muslim person, so I'm not an expert on the Muslim traditional wear. But my understanding is the hijab is the headscarf, which is the scarf which is wrapped around the head. The girls are open-faced, and so my understanding is the niqab is the scarf that goes over the face.
Right.
So we're dealing here with the hijab, and really it's as simple as that. I think girls wanting to be able to identify with their religion in an acceptable manner, but at the same time to be able to wear their school uniform and to identify with the school and to feel one with the school at the same time.
Right.
And not to feel alienated while being able to and wanting to identify with their religion.
What's the school's objection to these girls wearing a hijab, Jackie?
Joanne, it's hard for me to answer that fully. We have only come on board quite recently in this matter, Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. We really came on board a few weeks ago when the matter really started coming to a head. My understanding is that the school believes perhaps in their own way that they think that they are complying with the Constitution and with what is required of them and expected of them, in that there is a provision in the school code of conduct, which I think you've already explained, does provide for a specific Muslim separate dress code.
Yes.
And this was something which was apparently negotiated, I think, about 10 years ago in consultation with some Muslim religious leaders.
Can I ask you, Jackie, before you go any further, how you feel about that? I mean, because essentially that code will allow the girls to wear their headscarves with a black cloak to cover up their uniforms.
Yes.
I mean, does it mean that the school does not want them to be identified as JEPI pupils?
Well, I think there are some people who suggest that may be the case. I think what we are clearly dealing with here is a lack of appreciation of the right to equality. And I think a school which is perhaps refusing to understand what equality actually means in a constitutional democracy, and that there are and what reasonable accommodation really means in this context. And so there is certainly that perception out there, and I think people may be justified in thinking that. And I think certainly these young girls are at this time feeling victimized. You know, this is quite an odd and bizarre instance where these girls are saying to the school, please, we want to identify with the school. We take our schooling very seriously.
Yes.
They're model students. They're very serious about their academics, and they want to identify with the school. They want to be able to wear the blazer. They want to be able to relish in school colors. They simply want to also be able to be Muslim girls at the same time. So it's hard not to reach the conclusion that perhaps there are some in the school who do want to distance themselves from these girls and what they perhaps represent to them.
So having taken on this case on the girls' behalf, how are you countering the school's argument?
Well, at this stage, there's been quite a history to the matter. So there has been an ongoing engagement process between some of the parents, the Gauteng Department of Education at certain points, and the school. These attempts seem to have broken down, unfortunately, and the school now seems to be attempting to place pressure on the girls by bringing what we consider to be unfair, unprocedural disciplinary proceedings against them. and trying to impose really an exemption on the girls, which is not provided for in the code, and in a manner which we think is highly inappropriate, if not at unlawful. And so, you know, I think we're hoping to be able to engage going forward, and that it will not be necessary to litigate this matter and to bring court action, but if necessary, we certainly will, in order to protect the rights of the learners. And hopefully we can find a constructive way of moving forward. I think it's in the interest of all concerned that that does indeed happen. But we will not allow our clients to be victimized at the same time.
Tell me about this. I understood that there was a disciplinary hearing that was going to be held at the school today on the grounds that the girls had infringed the dress code several times and were not taking an instruction from a teacher on this. Did that disciplinary actually take place, Jackie?
Well, what happened, Joan, that disciplinary had in fact been scheduled for Saturday morning at 7:30,
right.
One day after the girls had finished writing their examination. Some of them were writing an English examination and or test.
Wow.
On Friday. They were given 5 days' notice of this the week before. And so we wrote a letter to the school during the course of last week explaining that these proceedings were unlawful. Certainly they did not comply with procedural fairness. There was insufficient information around the particulars. But just generally, given that there has been this ongoing dispute about enforcing what we consider and what the girls consider and their moms consider to be an unconstitutional provision in the code of conduct, we found it highly irregular that they would want to be disciplining the girls in these circumstances. And so they seemed, notwithstanding our letter, wanted to pursue these disciplinary proceedings. But the Gauteng Department of Education did intervene, and there was an agreement that these proceedings would be postponed indefinitely. So that's where we are. The proceedings didn't take place on Saturday,
right.
And we obviously have to see how things evolve going forward. We hope to be able to begin an engagement process again, so that perhaps we can try reach a point where the code could be renegotiated in a consensual way, and that it won't be necessary to litigate this matter.
I mean, it's probably a difficult thing to do this school by school, but in terms of the constitution, which I presume will be your guide in approaching this case, what exactly is stipulated in terms of these sorts of rights for children?
Well, Joan, it's not something which is expressly dealt with in the constitution itself, but obviously the constitution is the uber law which sets out certain rights and values, and what the constitution does is it protects the rights to religion. At the same time, it protects the rights to equality, and it protects the learner's rights to education. Translate all of those values into the current context, obviously what we would say is we're dealing with the application of those rights. The Schools Act itself does also make provision for a code of conduct. It does also give the minister the power to make recommendations and guidelines around school governing bodies and codes of conduct. This is an issue, and I'm glad you raised that question, because it's an issue which is arising in different contexts in relation to different forms of diversity again and again. And so we do think that perhaps there needs to be some more uniform intervention around how schools go about dealing generally with the issue of diversity in school places. We've dealt with a case in the past which concerns school code of conduct and uniform and an LGBTI, LGBT learner. And we saw at Pretoria School last year, I think it was, or the year before, the issue around the African hairstyles. It's an issue that's constantly coming to the fore. And so I think our SGBs perhaps are not necessarily always well equipped to deal with these issues. And so I think we need to start finding solutions around what the content uniformly of school codes of conduct should be, and perhaps some sensitivity training, perhaps some interventions more on the part of the minister and the NEC, who I know has come out and who certainly is vocal around this issue. But perhaps we need to be looking at it in a more generic way.
All right. Thank you so much for putting us in the picture there. Jackie Cassette, she is the head of the pro bono department at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr.